This is Pittsburgh Explainer from 90.5 WESA. Every week, we help you catch up on the headlines from southwestern Pennsylvania. It's Friday, October 16th. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Liz Reed. Nearly 29,000 Allegheny County residents got misprinted ballots in the mail this fall. County elections officials are blaming the error on a third-party vendor. WESA's Lucy Perkins has been following this story and all things voting-related and joins us now. Lucy, thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Liz.
What in the world happened, and how is the county going to make it right?
Right. Okay, so here's what happened. Last Friday, the county heard from about 20 voters saying that they'd gotten the wrong ballots. And what they meant by wrong ballots is that they'd gotten the wrong ballots for their municipality, ward, and district. The county looked into it, and they contacted their third-party vendor who does all the printing and mailing of these ballots. It's a company called Midwest Direct. And they did an investigation, and while they were doing the investigation, they put all of the ballot printing and mailing on pause. And what they realized happened, they said it was a ballot imaging error. So basically, the machine was printing the ballot for the next voter in line, not the voter at the front of the line. So it was off by one. And they announced it to the public on Wednesday. The company says that they've corrected the error and they have some security measures in place. So that doesn't happen again. But obviously, it's a really big problem because, you know, nearly 29,000 voters got the wrong ballot. So what voters need to know is that they could be affected if their ballot was marked as mailed on September 28th. So, you know, you can go online and see, you can track your ballot when, you know, your application was accepted, when it was sent out, that sort of thing. So ballots on 9/28/20 could likely and very well were affected. You don't have to do anything if the website does say that your ballot was mailed on that date. The county is planning to reissue ballots to all of those voters. They're going to start mailing them this week, and they expect all voters to get the reissued ballots the week of October 19th, so next week. A couple other things to note about this is if you go online and you realize that your ballot was affected, but you already mailed it back in and you just didn't realize you'd gotten the wrong one, that's okay. You're still going to get a reissued ballot. County officials are going through all of the ballots that have already been received because they have a list of all the voters affected and they're pulling those ballots. So voters will still only be voting once, but they will be getting new ballots if they voted on the wrong one. There's a tool online that the county just published where you can, you know, put in your information and see if your ballot was specifically affected. And you can find that tool by going to AlleghenyVotes.com.
I feel like this is a good time to step back and address some of the questions listeners might have about voting. You have been fielding dozens of questions from listeners that they've been emailing us. Let's start at the beginning. How do I register or check if I'm registered?
So for a lot of the things we're going to be talking about today, I'm going to just keep saying the same website over and over. But the answer to that question is going to votespa.com, V-O-T-E-S-P-A.com. And you can do a lot of things there. You can register to vote. You can see if you're registered. You can request a mail-in ballot, all of that stuff.
Is it too late to request a vote by mail ballot?
No, it's not. The deadline in Pennsylvania is October 27th. And so you can do that online at votespa.com. You can request a mail-in ballot that way. I would recommend, as would every other Pennsylvania elections official, to do it as soon as possible. Because after you request it, they need to process your application and then send you your ballot, which the Postal Service said this summer could take up to a week to send it to you. And then it'll take another week to send that back to the elections division. So the sooner that you do it, the better.
What do I do if I requested a ballot, but I'm nervous about the timeline?
So the other option that you can do if you live in Allegheny County and other counties throughout Pennsylvania is you can return your ballot in person to the elections division office. So in Allegheny County, there are a bunch of different places that you can do that, and you can see those locations on our website, wesa.fm. But basically, you can go to one of these satellite elections offices. They have them, you know, at the South Park Ice Rink and the North Park Ice Rink. They have one that's open in Homewood and one that's open in the Hill District. And those offices, those satellite offices, are open on the weekends from 9 to 5 on Saturdays and 11 to 7 on Sundays. And then, of course, there's like the main elections office in Allegheny County, which is open 7 days a week, basically, until the election. It's open from 8 to 5. You can drop your ballot off in the lobby of the county office building during the week, or you can go on the weekends from 9 to 5 and 11 to 7 on Sundays. And you basically just bring in your ballot that you've made your selections on. You've put it in the secrecy envelope. And you've put it in the declaration envelope, which you sign and date, and you hand it to the elections official, and they'll say, is this your ballot? And you answer, and then they drop it into a secure ballot box. So that's another way, if you have your ballot, but you don't trust the mail or you don't think there's enough time to get it back, that's another way to make sure that your mail-in ballot is counted.
Okay, I've heard of a couple of like weird situations, like someone not getting a secrecy envelope or having incorrect information on their ballot. If you get your vote by mail ballot and there's a problem with it of some sort, what should you do?
You should call the elections division, or you can email them. And the contact information is on our website. We have a big digital frequently asked questions thing at the top of our website that you can look at, and their contact information is available there. And if you don't get through on the phone, I'm told that emailing is a faster way to get in touch with them, so you should do that. It's something that they've acknowledged, that the elections division here in Allegheny County has acknowledged has happened on occasion. It seems to be not a super widespread problem by any means, but if that does happen to you, you can call them and they'll sort it out for you.
What if I have already requested my ballot? Maybe I've already gotten it, but I changed my mind and I want to vote in person. What do I do then?
Yeah, so that is totally fine. that's a totally reasonable situation to be in. And what you would do is you would take your ballot that you've received, so your secrecy envelope, the ballot, and the declaration envelope, and you would take all three of those documents. It's called like your ballot packet. You would take all of those pieces with you to your polling place on election day, and you would turn it into your poll worker, and you'd say, I'd like to spoil my ballot and I'd like to vote in person instead. And they will have you fill out a form basically saying like that you are giving up your vote by mail ballot and that you want to vote in person instead. They will take your mail ballot and set it aside, separate from all of the ballots that are being cast in person, and then they'll give you a provisional ballot and you will vote that way and that ballot will be counted.
Okay, I've also been hearing about in-person early voting. How does that work?
Yeah, so this is a really useful third option for people that election officials are pushing, and that Allegheny County has worked a lot to expand this election season because there's, you know, questions about mail-in voting and if the mail will be able to return your ballots in time. So this has to do with those satellite elections offices that I mentioned earlier. So again, the locations vary depending on the weekend, but until October 25th, there will be 5 election satellite elections offices open every weekend from 9 to 5 on Saturdays and 11 to 7 on Sundays, where you can go, and basically it's like mail-in voting all in one trip to this satellite elections office. So if you haven't requested a mail-in ballot yet and you want to vote early, you go to one of these offices and you fill out an application to vote by mail. You turn it into an elections official. They process it. They give you a mail-in ballot. You vote by mail there. You put it in the envelope, in the declaration envelope, just like you would if you were mailing it back, and then you just drop it off in a locked ballot box there. So it's a really convenient option if you would like to just get this done earlier. I will say these are, because they're county sites, you do have to wear a mask when you go. Obviously, when you go to the polling place on election day, the poll workers ask that you wear a mask, but they can't force you to. And you must wear a mask if you're going to do this early voting option.
Lucy, thank you so much for taking the time to untangle some of this very complicated stuff with us.
No problem. Thanks, Liz.
It's time for a quick break. We'll be right back.
The 2020 election is right around the corner. Whether this is your very first time voting or your 30th, it's still a powerful act. It's important to be well prepared. At NPR and this station, we empower you with accurate information and nuanced perspectives on the issues shaping American lives so that when you cast your ballot, you do it with confidence. 2020 election, it's time to listen.
A video of Pennsylvania's second lady, Gisele Fetterman, being called the N-word outside a local grocery store made national headlines this week. Fetterman is from Brazil, and though she's a citizen now, she was undocumented when she came to the United States as a child. She's not alone in facing racial harassment in the region. Fourth grade Pittsburgh teacher Mark A.D. Williams says he was called a racial slur and threatened on a footpath in Riverview Park on Monday. WESA's Bill O'Driscoll talked to Williams about the experience and joins us now. Bill, thanks for being on the show.
Sure thing, Liz.
Williams recorded the incident and posted it on YouTube. Can you describe what the video shows?
The video shows him on a dirt path in Riverview Park. Well, it doesn't show him personally, but he's filming these guys, three guys on motor scooters who have stopped. And one of them is yelling, accusing him of causing him to have crashed his motor scooter. And in the midst of Williams saying, "No, I didn't cause you to crash. You just went around me and you fell." This other guy starts yelling and he calls him again, using the N-word, and threatens also to run him over. One of the other two men who is with this guy tells Williams to leave or you're going to get hurt.
Now, are motor scooters allowed in Riverview?
Not on the dirt trails, no. Not in any city park on dirt trails.
So did Williams report the incident? Like, does he have any recourse for this?
He did report the incident to police. In fact, he tried to call 911 while he was on the trail. He didn't talk to them until after the incident has ended. Fortunately, it ended with the three men riding off past Williams, but no further damage was done. Williams did talk to police. They said, if we catch these guys, we can cite them for riding motor scooters, but not for the racial slur and not for physically threatening you. So he has no real recourse on that. I mean, if he is able to identify the guys, the police told him you could file a civil suit against them, but that's obviously a whole other can of worms.
What was Williams' goal in sharing this experience publicly?
He was documenting it in hopes of actually, you know, making these guys accountable for what they had done. And I think sharing it now, he's just hoping to, one, the faces of the men do appear on the video. A couple of them are wearing helmets or hoods, as I recall. So they're, but they're identifiable. You can see them. The license plate of one of the scooters is visible for a brief moment. So I think he was hoping, one, to sort of get them held accountable to some degree. And secondly, just to sort of spread awareness that this kind of behavior is happening. You know, maybe think of the Central Park birder incident where this a black man in Central Park in New York called a woman to account for walking her dog in a place she wasn't supposed to be walking it. And then she tried to turn him in and saying that he was posing a threat to her. Here's a case where a person of color in a Pittsburgh park is basically didn't let these guys pass on the trail because he knew what they were doing was wrong. And then they ended up threatening him. I think Williams just wanted to let people know, hey, things like this do happen in our community, and let's see what we can do about it.
Now, like I said at the top, Williams teaches fourth grade at the Environmental Charter School. He identifies as multiracial. Did you learn anything else about who he is as a person during your conversation, or what was your impression of him?
He just seemed like a really nice guy. You know, the reason he was in the park in the first place, he was out there with his dogs and he was recording this video. He's a math and science teacher, and he was recording a nature video for his students, his fourth grade students at Frick Environmental Charter School. But, yeah, I mean, he just seemed like a very, very nice person to whom something awful had happened through no fault of his own.
Bill, thanks so much for your reporting this week.
Sure thing.
It's time for another break. Stay with us.
One small step from StoryCorps and 90.5 WESA brings two people together who disagree politically for a conversation about their lives and beliefs.
I think education and mental health are the two biggest things that we need to focus on.
I'm pretty firm in the Republican side for most moral items, so I don't support abortion.
You can listen to these conversations or sign up to participate yourself at wesa.fm/onesmallstep.
When you think about wildfires, you probably think about California or Australia, where millions of acres have burned in recent record-setting fire seasons. But Pennsylvania has wildfires too, and climate change could make them worse. Here with more is State Impact Pennsylvania's Rachel McDevitt. Rachel, welcome back to Explainer.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, I truly did not even know that Pennsylvania has wildfires. Maybe that's just because it often seems so soggy in Pittsburgh. How common are wildfires in Pennsylvania?
So by the numbers, it seems pretty common. There is an average of around 700 fires annually in Pennsylvania between the last 5 years. And that's pretty evenly distributed across the state. There's 67 counties. They see fires in every county across the state. But they are usually small. I mean, they are not like California wildfires. They're usually, you know, very small, maybe under an acre, and they're contained very quickly.
You reported that we've seen an unusually high number this year. What have we seen in Pennsylvania?
So we saw an unusual pattern in wildfires this year. We usually have a busier season in the spring. Our wildfire season in Pennsylvania is like March, April, and May. But we can see an uptick in the fall when things dry out. The Wolf administration actually put out a warning in September to watch for a heightened wildfire risk. What's strange about this year is not necessarily the number of wildfires, but the number that we had in February. There were 161 this February compared to just 11 last year. Now, last year was a pretty mild fire year overall for Pennsylvania, but February is pretty unusual. It's not usually a very busy month.
What's causing these fires? I mean, is it lightning strikes, gender reveal parties?
Well, DCNR, the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, doesn't get that specific when they record causes. Could be a gender reveal party, but we do know that about 95% of fires in Pennsylvania are caused by people. That's usually when they're burning things like garbage or debris on their land. Lightning strikes did cause 8 fires so far this year. Other causes include like campfires, fireworks, and power lines.
What is DCNR doing to manage the wildfires?
So DCNR only manages about 2 million of the state's 17 million forested acres. We have a lot of private property in Pennsylvania. So a big part of what DCNR does is just education. So, I mean, don't burn things on your land when there's a high fire risk, you know, when things are dry. Be responsible. Don't leave your brush piles burning, you know, unattended. And then with the forests that they do manage, they just try to ensure healthy forests. You know, one practice is a prescribed or a controlled burn. And that's when you intentionally set fire to clear out like small dead pieces of wood and underbrush so that if a wildfire would start there, it wouldn't really have the fuel to grow and become destructive.
Now, scientists expect Pennsylvania to get warmer and wetter due to climate change. So more rain should mean fewer fires, right?
Well, it could, or it could just shift when Pennsylvania sees wildfires, like it could shift them farther into the winter. So right now, snow is usually a good deterrent for fire in the winter, and then it does get busier in the spring after the snow melts. But if we don't get that snow and we get rain instead, foresters say that moisture will either like soak into the ground or dry up, and then we're going to be left with dead vegetation that could be susceptible to fire. And also, just because Pennsylvania might see higher rain totals, that doesn't mean that rain will be evenly distributed. Like with hurricanes and tropical storms right now, we're not necessarily seeing more because of climate change, but we do see them become more intense. So we could see rainfall do that in Pennsylvania.
Rachel, thanks so much for explaining this topic.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
That's Pittsburgh Explainer for this week. Our show is produced by Katie Blackley. Larkin Page Jacobs is our managing editor. You can find all of our news coverage at our website, WESA.FM, and of course on the air at 90.5 FM. I'm your host, Liz Reed. Thanks for listening. Let's talk next week.